You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
On 98.7 ESPN Radio.
This is Stephen A. from Hollis, Queens, and the Michael K. Show starts now. Holla at your boy, Michael, Don Juan, and Peter.
And a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on this Thursday. It's March 23rd, 2023. 3-2-3-2-3. I like that.
Oh,
it's
wow.
It's Kay, LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you. That's beautiful, right?
That is beautiful.
That's right.
That symmetry is, that's what they call
it. Wow. That. I don't know if we'll ever live to see that again.
No.
Wait. I can confirm that we will not see this specific one again.
That's true. Yeah, thank you for the confirmation.
You're very, very welcome.
Anyway, we're all together with you until 6:30. At that time, it's the Knicks against the Orlando Magic from Orlando, and that is our jumping-off point for today, but we've got some show, baby. 4 o'clock, Alexander Emmanuel Rodriguez, otherwise known as A-Rod. Then we've got Andrew Brandt, former president of the Packers. Then at 5:15, we have Andrew Eugene Pettit, Andy Pettit. He'll be talking about his WBC experience, and we'll ask him, bigger to be in the World Series, bigger to be in the WBC, who is their pitching coach. But we do start off with the New York Knicks. The Knicks recap is brought to you by Jack Pocket. They lose again. They lose again, and what's troubling is their offense is fine. They shot 71% in the fourth quarter yesterday, but they allowed the Heat to shoot 67% and never miss from three-point range, and the Heat ends up winning. So there's a couple of things that loss does. Makes you a little worried about their defense. Tom Thibodeau's teams are not supposed to play defense like this, number one. Number two, they are not, under any circumstance, catching the Cleveland Cavaliers for fourth place. Now, job 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 is to hang on to the number 5. Because if you get the number 5, you're playing the Cleveland Cavaliers in the first round, and you have a chance. If you get the number 6, then we're talking about some heavy lifting to get out of that first round. And it's so weird because they played such a great game against the Denver Nuggets, and then they laid 2 eggs defensively in the next 2 games, once against Minnesota and then against Miami. And it's not good to see, Don.
Well, just help me out with the whole defense, because I'm just taking a look at last night's scoreboard, all right? These are the scores for the winners. Nuggets, 118. As you mentioned, Heat, 127. Pacers, not good. 7 games under 500, 118. Warriors, an average team, 127. Memphis, 130. And, oh, by the way, the Rockets, who stink, lost, scoring 125. Bucks, 130. T-Wolves, 125. Portland, they're 8 games under 500, 127. Lakers without LeBron, 122. Does anybody play defense?
I guess you have to play defense at certain times, though, Don, because the Heat were 6-for-7 on threes in the final quarter. They're just not getting out there and covering the threes. That's where Minnesota destroyed them from beyond the three-point stripe. And, you know, we're... defense, I'm sorry, is hard work and desire. Where has that gone? Has all the success gone to their head just a bit? So now the Heat are just 2 games back in the loss column from the Knicks, and the Heat essentially are tied with the Nets, who are 1 game back in the loss column, and the Nets play the Cavaliers tonight. But the Knicks are 4 games back of the Cavaliers, so that dream of catching them, that is gone. Now, one thing that you want to look at about yesterday, little dirty secret. The Heat shot 57% from the field and 16 for 28 from the three-point line. And the dirty little secret is this. The Heat are a terrible offensive team. Terrible. One of the worst in the league, and they put up 127 on the Knicks. You can't play like this. And if you play like this, you're going to get swept out of the playoffs no matter who you play. You just are. So that's it's not a great look for the Knicks right now.
No, I agree with that. I'm also, in this moment, I'm still in a place of just giving them the benefit of the doubt, not that things have gone to their heads or anything like that. I'm hopeful that there's some sort of regular explanation to why they've had this lapse. And, you know, Don and I were talking before the show. It's not like I think this is the idea that they would slip out of the playoff picture or anything, but you just want to see whether or not this is a new version of the Knicks, not one that constantly regresses to average.
Typical Knicks lose tonight as well, and it becomes an issue. New Knicks beat up on the Magic, beat up on the Rockets, and then beat the Heat, win three in a row, and really get you believing again. Now, and that's what I think they'll do.
Well, here's something to be a little concerned about, though.
Okay.
The Knicks have trailed by double digits in four consecutive games. That's their second longest such streak of the season. The Knicks have allowed 267 points in the last two games. The most over two-game span for the Knicks since, get this, February 2009.
Wow.
They've also allowed a 59.3% field goal percentage in the last two games, including 57.7% on three-pointers. That's the highest field goal percentage allowed over two-game span since, get this, March of 1988. These are historically bad defensive numbers. This is a team coming off a win against the Denver Nuggets. I don't like what I'm seeing on the court. Again, I'm like Peter. I'm not pressing the panic button. And, you know, the last time they had a little bit of a losing streak, they lost three in a row. They won the last two games of the West Coast swing.
Right.
Now they lost two straight, and as Don said, I think you all have permission from all of us here at the K Show to get nervous if they actually lose to Orlando. They have to bounce back. They just have to. No other way to put it.
Now, do style points matter for you? Let's say they give up a ton of points again, but they win the game by a point. Like, is it just get the win, or do you want to see a statement? Like, we're okay. Beat them by 20. Play well defensively.
Well, how about this, Don and Peter? So now we just laid out what's on the line today. Mm-hmm. Well, Ian Begley reports Mitchell Robinson, contused right knee, questionable for the game tonight. And if that wasn't enough, Jalen Brunson, the Knicks say, has a sprained right hand. He's questionable for the game at Orlando. Now, I don't know if that's a nice little way to hide. Well, we're going to give him a rest on back-to-back because of his
That's
his
possible.
Foot. Could be that. But Mitchell Robinson did go down in a heap when he hit his knee yesterday. He stayed in the game, but maybe they got sore over the evening. But that's a tough go. Now, they did beat the Celtics without Brunson. They won those last two games against the on the West Coast swing without Brunson. And they actually did quite well without Mitchell Robinson because Hartenstein has played well and Jericho Sims is good, but I can't say I would enter the playoffs with a bad taste. Yeah, I could say that. If they get into the playoffs as a sixth seed, wow. I don't feel good about things. If they get in as a five, that's okay. I'm cool with that. Because then they're going to play the Cavaliers. And the last game in Cleveland rather than Madison Square Garden, you know, if you're good enough, don't even let it go to seven games. Don't worry about the home court advantage. You could beat Cleveland. Cleveland, there were stories that the last couple of days, Cleveland is rooting for the Nets because they'd rather play the Nets than the Knicks because they know the Knicks could beat them. But the problem is Cleveland's playing the Nets two games in a row, and they're going to beat them. And that's going to kill any chance of the Nets actually finishing with the fifth spot. But now Cleveland could look up, and all of a sudden – the Miami Heat could be in the fifth spot. And Don mentioned the Knicks' upcoming schedule. They play the Heat next week at the Garden. They lose that game, it's a completely different animal. That was a big loss last night.
And just give yourself some cushion. Win these next two. I don't have in front of me who Miami plays before they play the Knicks again. Maybe you can gain a game back, but right now it's just two. So if it stays at two and you lose at the Garden, it's down to one with, what, five to play.
Yep.
Then it gets really scary.
The Heat play the Nets and the Raptors.
Yeah, so there's a very good chance that, at best, that it's still just going to be a two-game cushion going into that game at the Garden.
I don't like it.
I don't know. I also is some of this us doing it to ourselves, though? Like, we start creating expectations for what they are, whereas the average fan is just happy that they've been generally playing good basketball. Like, do you think the average Knicks fan has started to really be like, we're going to win at least a round here? Or are they just happy that it's been a competitive season?
No, no, no. You're not quite as familiar with Knicks fans as Don and I are.
Bing bong!
I mean, you certainly know them over the years, but we've gotten 21 years. This team, this fan base goes out of their mind with optimism when they win two games in a row. So they think they're going to beat the Cavaliers in the first round.
Right. Matter of fact, I think they have no fear dropping to six and playing the Sixers. I think Knicks fans are probably the most optimistic of all the fans in New York.
Are you saying there's a synonym for optimism called being delusional?
No, well, but see, this is where we get pigeonholed into being the negative guys around the Knicks because the fan base is so passionate, we feel like we've got to counteract that. But I think we're logical in the sense of if we're going to talk about a team that can win a first-round matchup and dance with the big three in the second round, well, then you don't get blown out. You don't lose to Miami the way that you did. You don't let a game against Minnesota slip through your fingers. I mean, if they truly are the team that the Knicks fan thinks they are, then they shouldn't let up. Go out there and, with no matter who's playing, kill the Magic, kill the Hawks, beat the Heat, and let's start having it happen here. I don't think they're the same old Knicks, but are they any different than the team that lost in the first round 2 years ago? Because that's the sense I'm getting, guys. Are the Cavaliers just the Hawks of this year now? Where everybody's all excited that they're going to definitely get out of the first round, and now they've blown any chance of hosting that first round. And why is it such a fait accompli they're going to be Cleveland when they're squandering games against Minnesota and Miami?
And also, Dom just let it slip, Peter. But they're thinking, the powers that be, are thinking of changing the name of the show to the Negative Guys, TNG. Because that's who we are.
I think
we could play that role very well.
Yeah, it's not the role. I don't believe that's who we are, but I understand it also. I mean, again, we are big on, honestly, this is not a pom-pom show.
Right.
You know, that's a fact.
We're truth tellers.
Well, we'll wave them when necessary, and we did. We did wave them for a while, that West Coast, the end of the West Coast trip and all that. I mean, there's been times where we've said they're not the same old Knicks, but you know, that's only in theory. Let's go see it happen. But, you know, having a big win against Denver only to lose to Minnesota, that didn't feel great. Last night didn't feel great. A great defensive coach, a team that should be able to clamp down defensively, those are back-to-back awful defensive performances. So you're held to a different standard now. What I would say to Knicks fans, if you really believe this team is as good as you think it is, then explain what's happened here. Are they really... should they be looking past teams, Michael?
No.
Should they be that full of themselves that they are actually, you know, there are trap games for them?
They're a good team, but they should not be looking past Miami. And maybe they felt comfortable after the Denver win that without, you know, Anthony Edwards and obviously Carl Anthony Towns was still out, that they were going to be able to, you know, just steamroll Minnesota. Okay, I can understand that. Maybe a letdown after the Saturday win in the afternoon against the Nuggets, but I mean, the Heat are breathing down your neck, and the two games that you won against the Heat, you won by 2 points. So you can't be looking past them. And now there's a sense of urgency tonight because you want to hold off the Heat. Now, the Nets are still there, and they're just a game behind the loss column. But with the way the Nets are playing, do you really think the Nets are going to make a run?
No, I don't think so, do you?
I mean, in all likelihood, the Nets are going to drop into a playing spot. So Miami's either going to be sixth or fifth.
I know the standings say the Nets are the next team. To me, my focus is on Miami catching me, not Brooklyn.
Absolutely. That's a Knick recap brought to you by Jackpocket. Powerball is $112 million. Mega Millions is now $302 million.
Wow.
Play official state lottery games on your phone with Jackpocket. Download the Jackpocket app. Get your first ticket free using code ESPN. You must be 18 or older to play. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem wants help, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY. Visit jackpocket.com/TOS for full terms of service. Before we get to your phone calls, I want to tell you about Game Time. It is brought to you, as always, by our good friends at Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. Knicks and the Magic, we've been talking about that. That's a 7 o'clock start, everybody. So that will be 7 o'clock, 6:30 pregame right here on 98.7. Don is in Carolina right now, Raleigh, Rangers at the Hurricanes. And that's a 7 o'clock start, 6:30 pregame on 10:50. and Game Time with Don calling the play-by-play at 7. And then the Nets and the Cavaliers, and that one will be on Yes. And we shall see how this goes. This is an important this is an important three games for all of these teams, every single one of these teams, the Knicks, the Rangers, the Nets, and the Cavaliers. That's Game Time, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. During the big games this season, enjoy a Tullamore Dew, the original triple blended, triple distilled, triple cask matured Irish whiskey. Remember, when it's game time, it's Tully time. Please enjoy responsibly. All right, let's go back or go to the phones for the first time today. Keith in Plainview. Keith, start it off.
Yeah, what's going on, Michael, Don, and Peter? So I was taking a look at the stats last night. And now, obviously, last night was a terrible performance. But when you compare the stats this season for Julius Randle and Donovan Mitchell, Julius Randle would just have to take one more three-pointer per game and boost his three-point percentage by about 3 points and boost his free throw percentage by about 10 points and somehow manage to get a steal per game. But if he did those things, their stats would be almost identical. And Julius Randle has 6 more rebounds per game, as well as has played 11 more games. So I just wonder, you know, why you guys always refer to Donovan Mitchell as this amazing superstar that would help the Knicks to win a championship, but yet Julius Randle is just always this player that isn't quite good enough and then could only play second fiddle.
Keith, with all due respect, I mean, it's almost laughable. You said, well, 10 percentage points. 10 percentage points is a lot.
Oh, my God.
3 points. Only if he gets 3 more points per game. That's a lot. Let's talk about turnovers. Let's talk about, like, late game having the ball. Who do you want to score, Donovan Mitchell or Julius Randle? Who's going to turn the ball over? I'm not going to knock Julius Randle. Donovan Mitchell's a better player.
Yeah, come on.
Let's look back at the last 10 games. Mitchell scored 31, 20, 21, 23, 42, 18, 40, 20, 44. I mean,
and then you have the 157 in there for Randle. And Randle's had a great year. We're not taking that away. But also what this guy just said, Keith said, Donovan Mitchell wouldn't be replacing Julius Randle. He wasn't going to Utah in the trade. You would have added Donovan Mitchell and Julius Randle and Jalen Brunson. You see the deal there? You have that third star and probably the big alpha male that you don't have. That was the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. Mrs. Lincoln, how was the play?
But why is this always the conversation?
Well, because people love Julius with good reason. He's fantastic. But the idea that just because he's great, he's better than Donovan Mitchell is a false narrative.
But there's that angle of it, but also the angle we don't need Donovan Mitchell.
That's called being a moron.
I don't want to put a lot of pressure on the Knicks. Not that, you know, they're in Orlando right now. I don't think they're tuning in. But what would Knicks fans do if the Cavaliers beat the Knicks in the first round of the playoffs because of Donovan Mitchell? Would they shut their traps then? I mean, how do you look and not see the brilliance of Donovan Mitchell? Why do you look for the warts on this guy? What's wrong with you people? And then we have people call in, well, if they had Donovan Mitchell, they wouldn't have Jalen Brunson. False. They had Jalen Brunson first, and then Donovan Mitchell was traded 2 months later. They would have had all of them. All of them. And fewer first-round draft picks. So what? And you'd have Donovan Mitchell for a long time. It's not like an Aaron Rodgers deal. You'd have Donovan Mitchell maybe for the next 6 years.
Yeah, I guess you're right. The thing is, just because we're saying Donovan Mitchell would have been a great piece that maybe takes this team from being a team that I think we all would agree the highest expectation is that they win a series. It could be a team you're talking about the conference finals easily. It's not a diss to Julius Randle.
That's amazing. I guess they'd be singing a different tune if they got Donovan Mitchell. The guy averages 27.4 points per game. He shoots about 38% from 3 points. 47.7% from the field. He's a great player. Why are you dissing him because the Knicks don't have him? You're being moronic.
And by the way, look around, man. The big boy teams, the Warriors, 3 guys who run the team. The Bucks, 3 guys who run the team. The Celtics, 3 guys who run the team. It's just statistically being honest. R.J. Barrett is not the third guy you hoped. It's really more of an indictment on Barrett than Randle, because you hoped Barrett was going to be the third
Great
guy
point.
Once they got Brunson.
Great point.
Randle's absolutely doing his job. But Barrett generally had a good game last night. Again, you hate to waste the night when Barrett shoots well from the field, but he hasn't been the guy.
Let's go to Sean in Bloomfield. Sean.
Hey, guys. Long time, fifth time calling.
Right.
Listen, Knicks fans, we got problems here. If we fall to the sixth seed, there could be worse things that could happen. We're either going to get Philly or Boston. And in my opinion, we match up better against Boston than any of the other three. Cleveland, Philly, or Boston, we match up better against Boston.
Just based on what's happened in the regular season?
I'm basing it on matchups and how we normally look at, you know, styles make fights and matchups are a thing. I think we just match up better against Boston. And based on how we beat them twice late in the season, we might be in their heads. I also feel like, unfortunately, in the past, the Knicks always come back to earth. And I feel like if we got to face Donovan Mitchell in the first round, even though we're kind of even as far as teams, I feel like he's just going to slap us right in our mouth.
But, Sean, let me stop you for one second. You'd rather face the Cavaliers? You'd rather face the Celtics than Cleveland?
I would. I really would.
Wow.
And it's simply based on matchups.
Well, you keep saying matchups, but, Sean, who on the Knicks is as good as Jason Tatum? Jaylen Brown is unstoppable. They have two alpha players. They have championship pedigrees. They played in the finals last year. I don't want to face the Celtics.
Again, he's talking about matchups, styles make fights. I think he's looking at how well the Knicks have played against the Celtics in the regular season.
But Don, quickly had, what, 55 points against the Celtics, played forever, 55 minutes?
Yeah.
And it took two overtimes. Come on.
But listen, we've talked about this before, Michael. The last time the Knicks made it out of the first round, remember, they were with Carmelo back in 2013, they were supposed to win it all because they had beaten the Heat 3 out of 4 times in the regular season. Like, that happens sometimes. I wouldn't get too caught up in what happened in the regular season, especially when it's an established Celtic team that went to the final the year before and a Knicks team that's trying to establish exactly what they are. I don't want to take away those wins. They happened. But is that the same of playing the same team every other day in a best-of-7?
Dirty little secret, everybody. If the Knicks don't tighten up their defense, they're going to lose in 4 or 5 games whoever they play. You can't give up uncontested threes. Not in this league. This league lives and breathes on threes. You can't play defense that way. 6 of 7, Miami. And again, I've got to amplify this. Miami's a terrible offensive team. Look at their numbers. Jimmy Butler went off yesterday. They couldn't stop Hero. They couldn't stop Strus. They couldn't do it. You can't give open threes in this league. This league is built on the back of threes. Take more of your phone calls as we move along. Remember Andy Pettit at 5:15 and Alex Rodriguez at 4.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Okay, I don't know if you guys saw the story. I hope you didn't. How much do you think the Yankees are worth according to Forbes?
According to Forbes, it would have to be $8
billion. Ooh.
Big number.
I was going to say between 5 and 6. I'll go 6.
Yankees are worth $7.1 billion, an 18% increase from last year. The second team, right? So the Yankees are $7.1 billion. Who do you think is second?
You would think, some would think Dodgers. I'm going to go Red Sox.
That is all of, is this just baseball or
baseball.
All of?
These are all baseball.
You know what? Considering the market, the stadium, and the network, I'll say the Mets.
No. Dodgers are at $4.8 billion, up 18%. Red Sox, $4.5 billion, up 15%. The Cubs at $4.1 billion, up 8%. And the Giants at $3.7 billion, up 6%. Overall, average major league team value increased 12% over the past year to $2.3 billion, with revenues increasing, get this, 7.8% to $10.3 billion. Most of the money came from a 64% increase in ticket revenue, including the postseason and spring training.
Well, obviously compared to, you know, COVID, right? I guess these are all the increases since COVID.
I guess so. Now, the Mets, this is surprising to me. So Cohen paid $2.4 billion for them in November of 2020. And now they're worth just $2.9 billion. I don't believe it.
I'm struggling with this. And again, I'm going to come across as Met boy.
Yeah, you are a Met boy. Embrace it.
As much as you may be Yankee boy.
Right.
But are the Yankees that much more valuable than the Dodgers based on what? Because it's New York?
Well,
based on
the
their stadium is newer?
They own the network. The Mets do not own the network. The Wilpons own the network. The Dodgers don't own their network, as far as I know.
The Red Sox do own Nesson, right?
Yeah, they do. That's why their valuation is so high. And the Dodgers, I think, own a part of the Dodger network, so they're high as well. The Cubs own their network. I don't know what the Giants –
Giants,
NBC, right?
No, the Giants, yeah, Comcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they don't own their own. That's a tremendous value to the franchise. Again,
according to Forbes, Don, the Yankees made $143 million in cable money in 2022 on YES, the most profitable and most watched regional sports network in the country.
And that ends up being, what, $3-plus billion more than the Dodgers?
I guess.
The Yankees deserve to be one. Just because it's New York and it's the Yankees. But the Dodgers are a brand name. Los Angeles is the second biggest market.
I mean,
the Dodgers have had more success recently than the Yankees have.
What was the Dodgers total again?
The Dodgers are $4.8 billion.
Don, I'm with you. That is feels like a huge discrepancy for those two teams.
It's $2.3 billion more.
But think about that. That's almost the worth of the Mets difference.
Yeah.
Because the Mets are 2.9. The difference between the Dodgers and the Yankees is $2.3 billion. Again, I'm not knocking the Yankees. They should be number one. It's a brand name. Internationally, it's a brand name. They've got a newer building. Chavez Ravine has been around since the 60s. But, I am not an entrepreneur. I'm not a financial wizard.
I wish I could say that word, Michael? As easily as you just said it.
Yeah, Michael, you dream of that sentence.
I do. I dream of it.
But that gap just seems massive to me.
And I'm going to let you in on a little secret. You might not believe me. The Yankees, if the Steinbrenner family put up the Yankees, they'd get more than $7
billion. And I think the Dodgers would get more than what their problem
is. And the Mets would definitely get more than 2.6. Definitely.
The Mets sound like a bargain to me. I guess, you wouldn't get SNY in the deal. But it's a ballpark that's as old as the Yankees. The team's got an excellent chance to win. Again, I'm not going to compare them to be with the – but even that gap just seems tremendous to me.
I think the big difference is the play-by-play guy of the Yankees. That's what I think, but, you know, what do I know?
That is big.
Look at the money that YES made, and who is the play-by-play guy of the Yankees on YES? That would be me.
Okay.
Yeah, me.
That's a really good point. You know what I'd love to see broken down? I'd love to see sales.
Eagles?
Yeah, no, I'm fine with that. The sales on items for each team. I'd love to know the hats for the Yankees, the jerseys. Because, like, in my very biased observation, it feels like the Yankee merchandise is just far and away the biggest there is.
I think there is. I think you see Yankee hats all around the
world. But that's all shared, right. Though. That's not that part of the value shared. Of the franchise.
Wait, they completely share that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it makes no difference if the Yankees sell 200,000 hats in a year and the Padres sell 12,000?
Right. I don't think so.
I think that's all shared revenue.
I think you might get a higher percentage, but I think a lot of it's shared. Diamond Notes brought to you by London Jewelers, the engagement experts. Visit London Jewelers today at any of their 7 locations, including the newest location at the mall at Short Hills. Did you see Adam Schefter's tweet? Cowboys, former Cowboys running back Ezekiel Elliott has narrowed down his options about where to play to the Eagles, the Bengals, and, wait for it, the Jets. And he would like to make his decision about where to sign by the end of next week, wow. According to sources.
I tell you, the Jets have all of a sudden become a destination, right?
It feels that way. And man, those are two sexy options right there. I mean, obviously the Jets are sexy for us. I don't know if the rest of the league would feel that way. But him going to Philly's fun, too.
Philly might not be that much of a sure thing to repeat. I mean, they've
lost.
Oh,
no, I don't mean that. I don't mean that. I just mean fun for us as fans and people who hate the Cowboys to see him in the green and white.
That would be fun. Let's go to Mike in West Caldwell. Michael.
If the Knicks play Boston in the first round, it's over. First round out. Let's just get that straight.
And I would think so.
You prefer them. Yeah. You prefer they on paper, you could probably think they could beat Philly, but those games are horrific. Knicks-Sixers games are so bad, and I don't know what it is. I don't feel comfortable about them. Look, it's the playoffs. Everyone's going to be hard. But the matchup you want right now is Cleveland. I mean, none of them are going to be easy. And I know you probably would think that they could beat Philly. I don't think so. But the thing's going to come down to Randall. As soon as he starts coming undone, God love the guy. I know he's having a good year. When he starts to become undone, it starts to unravel. You lose calls because he's almost on Luka's order with the complaining. And you lose calls down the stretch as far as I'm concerned.
That's the difference, Mike, and I'll let you finish your point. When I talk about alpha males, the Knicks don't have that star that's going to get the call.
No.
Jason Tatum's going to get the call.
Yeah.
Giannis is going to get the call. Embiid and Harden, they're going to get the calls. I don't think the officials look at Julius that way.
And Michael, what was the stat Vaccaro had in a tweet? Like, they have 48 total games of postseason experience, and like 27 of those 48 are from Brunson?
Yeah, it's a big deal. Go ahead, Mike. I interrupted you.
No, the thing with Julius Randle is he's not, no matter what happens, I don't think he's going to go down as a beloved Nick. You know, even though he's having a great year, there's just this weird tension. I think maybe some of it has to do with last year, but even as good as he's doing, you don't see his jersey in the stands. It's all Brunson and Matt Barrett, and you know, it's just he's not going to go down as a beloved Nick no matter what happens. I really don't think.
You know what? If they win two playoff series, he'll be beloved if he's a big part of it. But you know, I do agree with Mike. I disagree with Mike about what he said. I don't think the Knicks could beat the Sixers. I don't think they could beat the Bucks. That's why they've got to finish with the fifth spot. So at least they get to the second round.
Right.
Anything could happen. Somebody could get hurt on one of those teams, and you take your chances, and Knicks would go off on this dream run. Another thing to consider about the Knicks, guys, I don't know if you guys have thought about this. One thing that Thibodeau is known about doing is he rides his team hard.
Oh, yeah.
And when you get down to the end of the season, are they a little more tired than other teams? He only has a 9-man rotation, and he plays these guys a lot. You know, you ask him about it, he goes, what are you, the minutes police? But in the past, it's come back to bite him. Is it biting him now? Are they tired? I don't know. I'm looking for, because, well, what did I say earlier? The whole point of defense is desire and effort. Well, if you're tired, your desire and effort's not the same. And Jalen Brunson said the other day that the Timberwolves played harder. Unacceptable.
Yeah.
Unacceptable. Why do you play harder? Because you're tired?
Well, they're not going to get any rest, Michael. They're playing a second of back-to-backs tonight. So,
luckily for them, this is their final back-to-back.
But you're still playing every other day.
Yeah.
Well, there's no All-Star break. I don't have the schedule in front of me. I can't imagine they have any more than a couple of days off between games the rest of the way.
Yeah. 8 more games, including tonight. Let's see what Spike in St. Pete has to say. Spike.
There you go.
All right, I got a lot to say. And by the way, thank you very much. You guys gave me extra time and helped me through that rough day. And the outpouring of affection for the captain is endless. What a beautiful guy. Here's what I said last night. One hand to God, and I never thought the Knicks were winning that game at any point. 57% three-point shooting against the Wolves. They did the same thing. Easy, easy shots. It's a precipitous drop, and the Knicks are the worst team over 500 in the NBA. You know I track this stuff in the last 4 minutes of the game. And the two biggest, most important players on the Knicks, coach and player, is Thibodeau and Randle. And Thibodeau in his playoffs is an under 500 coach, and that's very salient, as you like to say, Michael, to what you brought up before about being tired. Randle took a 57-point game and couldn't get that rebound because he was dead beat. He gets that rebound, the Knicks win that game, no question about it. And then he blows a cork because he's so emotional, and he comes to every dance and gets a technical. Look,
got one
I
yesterday.
Said last night. Yeah, but I said last night, texting people during the game, which is my want, and I go on with Larry and Gordon. This is a wonderful treat at that time of night to get it out of you fast, that we both agreed. They had 17 turnovers last night. They out-rebounded them by 15, and they still lost the game. You can't allow 70% shooting. And last thing, this team tonight, between Wagner Brothers and Banchero, get 50 points a game, and they got Wendell Carter, and they got Cole Anthony, and they got Marcus Fultz. This team started 5-25. Look at their record now, and they're going to get a lottery pick. Watch out for the Orlando Magic. It's probably a pick'em game, if I'm right.
Yeah, this is not a pushover. I mean, yeah, Banchero is an outstanding player, so they've got some players, and if they get a good pick this year, they could take that next jump as well.
I think the Knicks are favored by 4 tonight. I think I saw that. It's not a lot.
No.
I mean, for Caesars has it at 2.5. They're a road. I mean, yeah, it's not
second
a lot.
Of back to backs. Probably why.
Right, road second of back to backs. That's probably it.
Hey, the Counting Crows are coming to PNC Bank Art Center on Thursday, July 6th, and Northwell Health at Jones Beach Theater on Saturday, July 8th. ESPN New York has your chance to score tickets all week with DiPietro and Rothenberg and this fine show, The Michael Kay Show. It's all from Live Nation. Tickets go on sale tomorrow at 10 a.m. at livenation.com. Don, once again, you're thrown into controversy. They're having host Sadness on DiPietro and Rothenberg, and you beat Dave Rothenberg, but you've been eliminated because I guess RJ and Ray determined that somebody bought votes for you.
Yeah, apparently I closed the gap. I retweeted it. I was down 58-42 when I woke up this morning, and I saw it, so I retweeted it. That's all I did. And then I get the phone call from Rick on the show that I had taken the lead, but there was impropriety. I had nothing
to do
with it.
Hold on. How many votes did you get when you – do you know what the vote total changed when you
– like by 1,000. Like all of a sudden 1,000 votes went to me in a minute, and – apparently, the algorithm showed that somebody had purchased votes. So, of course, everybody on the internet thinks I did it. I didn't
How
even know what was going on.
How much did you pay
on.
For those votes, Don?
I didn't pay a dime for it, and anybody that did, you know, is a moron.
I mean, wouldn't even know how to buy votes.
I don't know how to do it, and I don't know, like, what it means. I mean, I it's nice to win, but who would want to – I mean, I don't even if it's a penny, why would anybody pay for votes? It just seemed ridiculous, and I just said, listen, I don't want to get in the way. Dave deserves to win. Let him win. I'll take a knee. He's the better host. He's pound for pound the best host at the station. I got no problem with that, but I don't want to get called into this controversy, and they take the fun out of it.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
It's only a kick. A jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Teams that made the most money, profit.
Well, why would it be any different than the order of the top five most valuable teams, right? Isn't that kind of what it's based on?
No, not really.
Well, then I don't know. I mean, I guess the Yankees are one, otherwise you wouldn't bring it up.
No, they're not. They're not even the top
what?
Five.
What? Okay, Don.
Because
well,
they
what?
Got so much overhead, I guess.
Why don't we
Michael's salary.
What, well, not to no, mention.
That's you think
because remember, because Peter, people need to know. That massive deal to come back to the K-Show on ESPN, nothing to do with the Yankee. Massive deal that he makes over at Yes. So.
It's
not a
that
lot
massive.
Of, it's a lot of massive. Well, I don't understand how the Yankees, though, could still not.
Because there's the overhead in New York is incredible.
So how about the Astros?
No, the top.
Go ahead. I bet you the Padres are there. Big year.
No, they're one of the top five losers.
Really?
They're the second. They lost the most. I've told you this over and over. Peter Seidler wants to win a championship no matter what. He is spending money that his market can't support, and all fans are saying, "Isn't that wonderful? Every team should have that sort of owner." Owners don't want to lose money. It's a business to them.
So who had a good year last year but didn't have a big payroll? Just trying to remember. Obviously, the Mets have a huge payroll.
Mets were the top loser. They lost $138.5 million. Padres, 55.2. White Sox, 53.4. Blue Jays, 33.7. Twins, 30.3. So that's the top five losses. Top five profits, ready?
Okay.
Seattle, 83.8 million.
Not a huge payroll, good season.
San Francisco Giants, 74.9.
Probably a Midland payroll. And
Red Sox, who cut their payroll down to the nub, 71.6. Orioles, who don't spend any money, 64.7. And this is what really aggravates owners, Don. The fifth most profitable team last year was the Oakland A's. $62.2 million. They have no payroll. They have no intention of winning. And they get revenue sharing from other teams.
Yeah,
that's not
that's,
right.
That's
why the Players Association gets ticked off. That money should be spent on players.
So they got a top five income.
Right.
Basically not even trying
to field. Nobody goes to their games. They have no payroll. They have a terrible team. They're not trying. And they're making $62.5 million profit.
That team has to move. It has to. But I guess they'll tell you that you're not trying, you can make money. This is almost, it's like, you know what that is, Michael? That is the baseball version of the producers.
Yeah, you're right.
That
you're
is
right.
Really true.
Yeah. It's and if you're a team that pays into the revenue sharing and you're not in the top profit people, you're going, why do I have to do that?
What am I doing?
What am I doing here? Why am I supporting them?
And, you know, a team like the Padres, they're not sinking money in because they want to make any. They just want to win a championship.
Right, and they're losing money. And that's
right.
Why one day I think that's all going to fall apart. I really do.
Well, yeah, it will. Like it did with the Marlins, right? They might win a title, and then you'll see that team get stripped completely down.
Let's go to Dave in Queens. Dave?
Gentlemen, thanks. It's my understanding that the Dodgers are still in debt due to the McCourt divorce about decade plus ago.
And he doesn't own the team.
No, I know, but the team still has debt because, like, Major League Baseball, he doesn't own them. I know, and I don't know how – I know that Guggenheim bought them, but and Magic and all that. But the thing is, the divorce, they're still saddled in debt. That was a really – as you know, Michael and guys, that was a very serious divorce thing. Very horrible, and Major League Baseball bailed them out, which I resented as a baseball fan. I wanted to see the Dodgers suffer a little bit. I didn't want to see them bailed out, and that is the reason they're not even, you just
Dave,
said, profiting.
All due respect, his divorce has nothing to do with the Guggenheims. I'm sorry. And if anything, he still owns. Look, McCourt still owns the parking lots at Dodger Stadium.
Well, did the Dodgers purchase the debt?
It has nothing to do with the divorce, though.
No, but I guess did he, in order to pay his wife and the divorce, did he lean on the franchise and get them in debt to where when Guggenheim bought it, that they absorbed that debt and they're still trying to climb out of it? I don't know.
Let's go to Justin in Queens. Justin.
What's up, guys?
Hey, Justin. Thanks.
Listen every single day.
Thank you.
I think it's thinking about the Knicks earlier. I'm as a bigger Knicks fan as anybody, right? I go to about 5 to 7 games watch every night. I love the Knicks, right? And the other caller was right on. Randall's not going to go down as a great Knick or whatever the case is. My problem with him is this. He does the same move at crunch time every time and with the same result. If you ever notice, the close games that we lose, even in the Miami game when he hit that crazy shot, he had to do that because he got a stolen the play before.
Yeah, he gets and the, and he almost lost it on the crazy shot, too,
yeah.
Justin.
Yeah,
thank you.
It's the Randall
thank
handle.
You. The other night, he's dropping 50 whatever points. But when we need a bucket, you can't. Playoff time, in the playoffs, every game is close, and they're going to lean on Randall. And he just comes unhinged. He looks scared and nervous. He still doesn't know how to negotiate a double team. And that's never going to.
And you're cutting in and out, Justin, but you're making good points. He is a guy, right? And we only cut you off because you were cutting in and out. Is he doesn't control himself with the officials. Got teed up yesterday when he didn't need to. He backs in at the end of games, dribbles, blindside help. He gets stripped all the time. He shouldn't have that many turnovers. He's not a point guard. And the reason he's having a real good season this year, it's because of Jalen Brunson. I'm sorry. It's because of Jalen Brunson.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.